I want to invite you to turn with me to John chapter 15. We're going to read from verse 1. John chapter 15, reading from verse 1. Hear the word of God. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you will be like a branch that is thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my word remains in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. And may God bless this reading of his word. Let's just take a wee moment of prayer. Father, we've already prayed that your spirit would fall on this place. We've already asked for your anointing. And I ask, Lord, that you will guide and direct everything that I say. I pray, Lord, that you'll give me that clarity of thought and understanding as I share, Lord, what you've been laying on my heart. And I pray for those listening, Lord, that you are already doing a work in their hearts and in their minds. Help us, Lord, to hear you and you alone this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. It's the final hours that Jesus will spend with his disciples, and he's preparing them for all that lies ahead. He has shared communion with them. He has washed their feet, teaching them what he meant about servanthood. He has brought them words of comfort. He has told them that he's going away. He has explained to them what that means. And he has told them about the Holy Spirit going to come. And now he's going to teach them about how they're to live their lives on a daily basis. What is going to get them through over the coming hours, the coming days, the coming months. And he again uses imagery, as he has on a number of occasions, to teach them something that will stick with them. Something that they can see and something that they can understand. And so he uses this picture of the vineyard. And so that every day when they were walking about, if they saw a vineyard, it would remind them of him. It would remind them of his teaching. It would trigger a memory for them about their own lives and their connection to him. Now, I've never been in a vineyard. I've seen them on TV and films and so forth, but I've never been to one. But over the past while, God has been using plants in my own home to teach me and to help me to understand some of the teaching that he has. See, I love carnations. I love the shape of the flower. I love that each one is individual, very, very different. Tesco's do a very good one at £1.50 on a Friday night. Don't go for £2.50. £1.50 will do you. The next week you can put on your other £1.50 and you have a big bunch before you know it. And so I get them each week. Thursday night, I lifted these ones out of the water. And I left them out of the water. And already they're starting to go down. The leaves are becoming crumpled. The other bits are just fading away. And it's like somebody who's not in Christ, there's no life in it. There's no life in it. And not in Christ, it's not going to bear life. These ones are in water. And it's a wee bit like coming to church every Sunday. Not knowing Christ, but coming to church. You're getting enough just to keep you going. You may be a good person. And there's enough there just to fill in for you, just from one week to the next. But the sad thing about these ones here is they're cut off from the main plant. They will never grow new buds. When these fade, they will die. That's it. Gone. They're never going to grow again. This plant here doesn't look very spectacular. I love it. I've had it a number of years. I think it's a Christmas cactus. That's how good my... Somebody's nodding. Brilliant. Thank you. But I've had it a number of years. This year is the best that it's ever bloomed. And I'm going to tell you why. It was pruned. It wasn't planned to be pruned. But it was pruned. It used to be a lot bigger, but it was just green leaves. Until Maisie, my dog, decided that the green leaves hanging down actually looked quite good and quite tasty. And she didn't do it all at once. She took her time. Each day she came in, she pulled off a bit of the leaf and chewed at it. And I began to realize that plant isn't as big as it used to be. It wasn't how I imagined pruning it. It wasn't how it was planned to be pruned. And yet, as a result, these flowers have all come up in abundance. Far more than they ever did before. See, pruning comes not how we always expect, not how we always want, but it brings growth. It brings new flowers. It brings beauty that affects everything around it. That sits in my kitchen window. Both of them do. That brings me so much joy. Because it's living. It's growing. Yes, there's going to be a stage when the blooms will fall off it. But there's going to be new buds come again. There's going to be new growth again. And Jesus is saying to his disciples, I am the vine. God is the vine dresser. You remain in me and I will remain in you. Don't detach yourself from me. If you detach yourself from me, you're going to fade, you're going to die, and that's going to be it. There's going to be no more growth. But if you stay in me, I will do incredible things throughout your life. Let's look at the passage itself. Let's look at some of the verses in it. In verse 8 and verse 16. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, this is what God says to you today. Verse 8, this is my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And in verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you might go and bear fruit that will last. God knows the fruit that he wants to bring out in your life. He knows the changes that he wants to make in you, to make you more like his son each and every day. Tony Horsfall gives this definition. Fruit is the outward expression of the life of God within. And I love that definition. It's God working in and out through us. I want to read you verse 8 from the Jewish Bible. One of the things I've discovered that God has been allowing me to discover over the last while is I have books in my cupboard that I've never read. And I discovered that it was actually Grant Weatherall had given me this Jewish Bible. And I have to be honest and say it, I just glanced at it a few times. But I read verse 8 in it. And this is what it says in the Jewish Bible. This is how my Father is glorified. In you bearing much fruit. This is how you will prove to be my Talmidi. Talmidi. It's a strange Jewish word, and I probably haven't pronounced it right, and Grant would have a fit. But let me tell you this. The NIV and the other versions use the word disciples. But the meaning of it is this, that they learn not only what their teacher knows, but become the type of man their teacher is. They are fixed on learning Scripture and putting it into action, becoming like him. I thought that was powerful. And it actually took my understanding of disciple probably a lot further. Becoming the type of man that he is. Fixed on learning Scripture and putting it into action and becoming more like him. Galatians 5:22 is the one that we done with the children. Says that they are the characteristics of Jesus that God through his Holy Spirit wants to develop in our lives and the lives of our children and the lives of you and me. And the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's an ongoing process throughout our lifetime. And I know that there are times when we're inclined to make excuses for people and say they'll never change. Oh, well, that's just the way they are. They'll always be like that. They've got to that age now and there's no way they're ever going to change. Well, that's not what Scripture teaches. The psalmist writes in Psalm 92, 12 to 15, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar in Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, the Lord is right, he is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him. No matter what age you are today, whether you're the youngest person in here today or the oldest person, there is a work that God wants to do in your life. There are changes that he wants to bring to make you more like his son this day. You are never too young, you are never too old for God to change your character. And as the Holy Spirit changes our character to be more like Jesus, then it tells us that fruit will come from our lives. Colossians 1:10 says that we are to live lives worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Proverbs 11:30 says that we will begin to have an influence on those around us. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and the one who is wise saves lives. When God changes you more like a son, it impacts those around you. It's not just for you, but God will use that in the lives of others. So how do we get the stage of bearing fruit? Well, in the passage 4-6, we're reminded that we're to remain in Christ. Some translations have it abide, they have it as dwell, or they have it as rest. To rest in God, to rest in Christ. The Message puts it that we're to make our home in God. We're to be in that intimate relationship with Christ. And you and I need to learn what it means to remain and abide in Christ. Verse 5 says this. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. And in verse 6, we are to remain in him. There's a dependency on our part on God. He is the vine dresser. He is the one who tends us, who cultivates us, and who prunes us. And verse 5 reminds us that we can do nothing without him. I've been a Christian nearly 30 years now. And it's something that I'm still trying to learn, that I can do nothing without him. You see, so often I maybe go about things and think, well, I can do this. This is fine. Lord, if I get into difficulties, I'll give you a shout. If it gets too tough, I'll give you, just come and help me out. If I'm going to a place and I know it's going to be difficult, and I might have thought through how I'm going to deal with it, the only thing I might say is, Lord, it's okay, I've got this. I might need a parking space on the way down. If you could sort that out, that would be great. How arrogant are we to think that we can do things without God? That we have got it covered, that we don't need him? Because the truth is, we need him every moment of every day. And without him, we can do nothing. He has literally given you life and me life. He has literally given you and me the very breath that we breathe. How could we think that we could do anything without him? We've got to remain in him. We've got to be dependent on him. And then in verse 7 it says, "We remain in me and in my word in you." If today, if this day, this morning is the only time that you read your Bible, if coming in the church is the only time that you'll open a Bible, then you're not going to grow. You're not going to bear fruit. But if you and I will dig deep into it, if we will read it, if we will learn it, if we will apply it to our lives, then you and I will fall deeper in love with God. And he will show us those things that he wants us to apply each day. I love to read. And other friends will tell you that I'm always reading. It's something that God just developed in me over the last 10, 15 years. But over these past months, I've had the joy, as God has taken me to a different level in my reading and what I'm reading and how I'm reading. And it started over a battle with God about self-control. You see, I love Sky Sports. I love sport in general. Every sport, well, most sports. There's an odd sport I don't like, but most sports I really do enjoy. And I had Sky Sports, and I had BT Sports, and I had sports on my tablet. And every day I would watch sport. I know none of you are like this at all. I can see the looks in your faces. But about 4 years ago, I felt God tell me to get rid of Sky Sport. I thought, I can't do that. I don't go out very much. I don't go out to cinema. I don't go out for meals. And the only thing I spent my money is on Sky Sport. I can't do this. And I didn't. It took about 4 years. But throughout that time, God constantly was saying to me, I want you to cancel that contract. And about 6 months ago, maybe longer, I cancelled the contract. And I sat for the first day going, I'm going to do myself now. I love Sky Sports. I love my football, my rugby, my cricket, all the rest of it. So I thought, I'm safe, I'm well, don't worry. I'll just read about it on my tablet each day. And I did that until God said, you know something, Eleanor? That's not self-control. That's you just replacing what I've asked you to set aside with something else. I've asked you to have self-control. And so some months back, I totally changed what I do every morning. Totally changed the whole lot. I don't look at my tablet in the morning. Don't look at the news in the morning. Don't put the radio on in the morning. The first session is spent with God and with God alone. And the transformation for me personally has been incredible. I know that in that period of time that I've grown in my love for him. I've grown in my walk with him. I know that he has pruned that, and he has a lot of other pruning to do in other situations and other things. But I know this. I have a God who loves me and wants the very best for me. And when he prunes and takes something away, he's got something else he wants to give you in even more abundance. His word here reminds us that we are to remain in his love in verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. God loved you and me so much that he sent his Son, his only Son. Jesus loved you so much and me so much that he left the Father to come to earth. He chose to go to the cross because he loved you and he loved me. He chose to give up his life for you and for me. He chose that. Now that's amazing, incredible love. And that's a love that he wants you and me to experience every single day. A love that is beyond actually me trying to describe. It's a love that he's had for you since he created you in your mother's womb. There is nothing that you can do this day that will make God love you anymore. And there is nothing that you can do this day that will make him love you any less. His love for you will be consistent day in, day out, forevermore. I think that's incredible. And that's the love he wants you to know today. That's the love that he wants you to remain in. But he also tells us in verse 10 that if we're to remain in him, there will be obedience. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Jesus set us that example of obedience, an obedience that didn't count the cross. Cost, an obedience that came out of a love for his Father, an obedience that saw him go to the Garden of Gethsemane and say, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Obedience to even death on a cross. If we remain in him, he will remain in us, and there will be intimacy. And verses 13 to 15 highlight that. Greater love hath no man than this, to lay one's life down for one's friends. You're my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know what his master's business. Here's Almighty God, King of the universe, inviting you and me into a friendship with him. It's a friendship with him which Jesus wants to share with you and me everything that the Father has shared with him. I've called you friends. For everything I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. And that's a beautiful friendship. That's a friendship that's going to be constant. That's a friendship that's going to be consistent. Here's one of the outcomes of being in Christ. Remaining in his love. Verse 11 says, I've told you this that so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Joy, an incredible joy that lights up your life in a way that nothing else can. As the Holy Spirit changes us, draws us into a deeper relationship with God, shows his love for us, brings us into unity with others, there is such a deep sense of joy. Earlier in the week, someone sent me a text about what God was doing in their life. How God was changing things. I prayed with her some months ago. And it was incredible. And the only way I can describe it, and you'll connect them with this, most of you connect them with this, the only way I can describe it was, it's like when your child comes home from school and they've got this report card that's absolutely brilliant.
and you are so excited. You're excited for them and you're excited too because you're a proud parent. And that's how I felt this week. As she just shared how God was changing her and shaping and molding her. I find it amazing that God cares enough about me and you that he wants to work in every aspect of my life and yours. To change us to be more like a son every day. And you and I can't make those changes on our own. They only come because of him. And without him, we can do nothing. I want to finish with two readings. One is from the interview yesterday with the Fijian rugby league captain. I told you I still love my sports. Who led his team yesterday to victory over New Zealand. And it was amazing because I read this and then I watched the interview later on that the BBC played. And what he said in the first part of his interview, and you'll understand why when I read out what he said and what the BBC showed of the rest of the interview, you'll understand the difference. So this is what he said. On the blog that was coming through just as the final whistle had come and they interviewed the players on the pitch. So at 8:29 yesterday morning, Kevin Ngwama, I think that's how you pronounce him, this is what the blog says, is so emotional he can hardly speak. We will do our best to bring to you what he said shortly. The majority of it relates to how God was the key. And then in his interview at 8:32 he said this, I am lost for words. I just have to thank God in this moment. We couldn't have done it without him. I'll just keep proclaiming the name of Jesus. I can take no credit for this. This was an international sports star who knew what verse 5 meant. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Another bit I want to read to you is a poem that I heard recently at a retreat. It was a girl who wrote it just after her father died. And this is what she wrote. I will not die an unlived life. I will not live in fear of falling or catching fire. I choose to inhabit my days, to allow my living to open me, to make me less afraid and more accessible. To loosen my heart until it becomes a wing. A torch, a promise. I choose to risk significance so that which came to me as a seed goes to the next as a blossom, and that which came to me as a blossom goes as a fruit. Jesus says, I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last.